Let me just remind me again, what button do I push, Simcha, just to get it going on?
Number five. Press five on five on the phone.
Yeah.
That's it. You can just speak now. You're recorded.
Okay. It's Rabbi David Eisenberg here, and today is Tes Sivan, 1st of June, and we're going to be discussing today laning at back garden minyanim. So that's today's topic. It's very nice to be able to see all of you, Simcha, MD, everybody else, Anthony. It's I feel almost like when you come out here, you know, you're looking at everybody else, and it feels like almost an AA meeting where I have to say, you know, hi, my name is David Eisenberg, and I daven in a back garden minyan. You know, people give us some people are like, and they give you a clap, a round of applause or something. And, you know, I guess if you live in Broughton Park, it's the other way around. You know, hi, my name is David Eisenberg, and I daven b'yichidus. And everybody be like, ooh, that's terrible. So I know in Broughton Park, this the back garden minyan and the social distancing and everything for a lot of people has just gone out the window. I don't know why, but it seems that a lot of people don't seem to be keeping to the exact rules. In Prestwich, a little bit more so, but until recently in Prestwich, the Rabbonim had said that people shouldn't have any back garden minyanim whatsoever. Now they have come out and said if you keep to the social distancing guidelines, you could have minyanim. And then we have again the change in government policy of six people from different households. Actually, if you lived in Scotland or Wales, it'd be six people only from two households. Now it's six people from different households, even more than that. So I know a lot of people that have relaxed the guidelines now, and remember looking back at the shiur we spoke about 6 weeks ago, very important to make the point here again that just because you want to daven with a minyan does not mean you can do something that is against the law, or does that not mean that you can do something that is dangerous or that will endanger other people. If you don't agree with the law, I spoke to somebody recently and I met him and somebody said to me, what you're doing is against the law. And I said to them, oh, some law. That law went and killed so many people. Well, that's not a great law. I said, that doesn't make it legal. You might not agree with the law, but it still doesn't make it legal. You have to be careful to stick within what the law says. That is the first thing that I'm going to say over here, that before we discuss laning and back on minyanim, and remember we discussed whether or not you can have a minyan or not have a minyan, many people you could have a minyan, you should always remember that being safe is the first and foremost thing that we need to be careful with. And then once you are safe, if you also want to be able to ask a question, can I daven with a minyan in the back garden? Can I lay in my back garden or not lay in my back garden? That's the next question to be discussed. But you can't look at it and say, oh, well, you know, I want to daven in my back garden, so I'm bringing 10 people in my back garden without any social distancing. Then your minyan is really a mitzvah of avera, because if chas v'shalom anybody gets sick from one of these minyanim, and everybody emboldens the other person by making these minyanim for other people to have minyanim, so it's not so posh. It's really not so posh. So I'd like to discuss today a little bit the topic of Kriyas HaTorah in these garden minyanim. So now the question comes as follows. I got a phone call on Erev Yom Tov from somebody in Prestwich that says, Rabbi Eisenberg, yeah, you, we've been told, have some connections in a shul. I said, that's true. I do have some connections in a shul. And we've been told that your shul has more than one kosher sefer Torah. I said, that's also true. I said, well, would you be willing to share one of those sefer Torah with us for our minyan? So I said, I'm really sorry. It's not my sefer Torah to give out. That's a very important thing, by the way. The Gaboim need to make sure, if you are a Gabbai of a shul, you have to be careful when you give out the Sfarim. I don't know if Gaboim have a right stamp to say, yes, you can take the Sefer Torah. I'm not sure who has a right within the shul to say that you can take or cannot take the Sefer Torah. But you cannot just look at it and say, yeah, of course you can take the Sefer Torah. Not so posh, right? That's another thing to keep in mind, is that you have to realize that there's a Choshen Mishpat aspect over here as well in taking a Sefer Torah, and not always will you be allowed Midine Choshen Mishpat to take the Sefer Torah. And if Midine Choshen Mishpat you're not allowed to take a Sefer Torah, then laning from the Sefer Torah, whatever you're going to do, if you're laning from a stolen Sefer Torah, then that's a mitzvah of Aver, then you're not gaining anything. So you can pat yourself on the back and say, we got the most Gishmak Minyan, we even have a Sefer Torah and everything, but it's not a Gishmak Minyan if you've stolen a Sefer Torah. So that's another important thing to keep in mind. So be mindful of the fact that it is possible that this, that the taking your Sefer Torah is actually Geneva, and you have to make sure that if you do get a Sefer Torah, that the Sefer Torah that you're receiving has been given Berushus, and that the people that are giving you the Berushus actually have Berushus to give you that Sefer Torah. That's the next thing. So let's talk about now the halacha of of Kriyas HaTorah in shul. And then today, I don't even want to get into how you go about calling people up. So there's two things I want to discuss. Number one, the Chiyuv Kriyas HaTorah. And number two, beyond the Chiyuv Kriyas HaTorah, are you allowed to move a Sefer Torah to bring it to somebody's house? Who says you're allowed to do that? Who says you can go and take a Sefer Torah and just move it from a shul just because you feel like it? Maybe the Sefer Torah has to stay in shul. So you'll tell me, people bring Sefer Torah to shiva houses. Yeah, that's part of the sugya. Are you allowed to bring a Sefer Torah to shiva house? Or maybe we say you're not allowed to bring a Sefer Torah to shiva house. So the people that bring them are wrong, and you shouldn't really be giving Sefer Torah for that purpose. And the Sefer Torah is handed around like a piece of kugel by a tish. It's not a piece of kugel. A Sefer Torah is a davar kodesh and should be treated with the utmost respect and the utmost kedusha. So that'll be the second thing we'll discuss, and hopefully that will take us to the end of this year. And then if we get a chance for part two at one point or another, Rabbi Nachum David, we can then discuss the different mahalchim that it will be possible to call people up, how you call people up, can you call different people, what happens if you have kehanim, what happens if you don't have kehanim, all that will have to be discussed. Okay? So we start over the following. It's quoted in the name of the Rambam and Perek Yud Beis Hilchas Tefillah. The Orach HaShulchan brings this. Moshe was Mesachin for Klai Yisrael that should be Koyev HaTorah Barabim on Shabbos and on Monday and on Thursday Shachris. This is the Takon of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? So they shouldn't stay 3 days without Torah. As we see before Matan Torah, that they had 3 days without Torah, and then Rafu Yudei Torah wasn't very good for them, and therefore they made this Takonah of Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday. Ezra was Mesakin another Takona. Ezra was Menamedakin a Takona that by Mincha and Shabbos you should also read Mishum Yoshre Kronos. What's this? Yoshre Kronos. And he was also, the other thing he was Mesakin is that you should read and Shemin Chamishi, three people and ten Psukim. Meaning, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that the Kriya and Shabbos morning was Mesakin through Moshe Rabbeinu. And there was a takana what to read also. Each Sevran Shabbos, in the olden days, even it took them 3 years to complete the cycle. We changed it around to being 1 year of completing the cycle. And that you have Shiva Kruin. But on Monday and Thursday, there wasn't a takana of how much to read and how many. So you need to read and be enough to call one person and one pasuk, and that'll be good enough. Came Ezra Sofer and said, no, you need to lay in on Monday and on Thursday three people and ten psukim. That's the takana of Ezra Sofer, building on the takana that already existed of Moshe Rabbeinu to lay in on Mondays and Thursdays. And then there was another takana of Yoshri Kronos for Shabbos afternoon. I think people realize that Shabbos is a long day. Somebody said to me yesterday, I was talking to a friend of mine, he said yesterday, you know, Shabbos felt very, very long. When you have shul and when you have a base medrash and you have somewhere to go to, that's one thing. But when you don't have shul and you don't have a base medrash and you don't have anywhere to go to, it feels very, very long. On Shabbos morning, you daven and you daven quickly. And then you make kiddush and then you have lunch and you have a rest and you learn a little bit. And now it's 5 o'clock. And Matzah Shabbos is at 10:30. So normally you'd have a shalosh shudras and you'd have a shir to go to in shul and you'd have mincha to go to and you'd have a chavrusa. And all that is not working nowadays because you are going through Corona. So Shabbos becomes very long. So in a long Shabbos, what is or what isn't right to be done? So some people get up to good when they have lots of extra time. But many people get up to no good when they have lots of time. So these Yoshri Kronos would sit and they drink and they get a shtickle shikr. And therefore they made a takon of Kriyas HaTorah that should come back to the shul. And therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's interesting, before you take out the Sefer Torah, the only time you say this pasuk before you take out the Sefer Torah is Shabbos v'mincha. V'ani sevilos l'cho Hashem eis rotzai n'lekim rov gazdech ha'neim es yishecha. Why do we say that pasuk now by Kriyas HaTorah, by Shabbos v'mincha? We don't say Monday, Thursday. We don't say Shabbos morning. Why now? So he says, because the pasuk before that says, Yosichu v'yosh v'shah negin esrei seishecha. They will speak about me, those who sit in the gates and those who drink beer. But Amar David, Hein Yoshri Mishtakir Nakonos, they sit and they get drunk. And the pasuk right before that says that they sit and they drink. And he says, the pasuk right after that says, I come to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am happy to spend the time with you. And therefore, since the takana was created that we should lay by mincha because we don't want people drinking excessively on Shabbos and getting up to no good. As we see over here, Kiddush Club is not a new thing. Kiddush Club seems to be something already from the time of Ezra needing to make these takonas. Therefore, we say, Vanis Vilasi, to say we don't get drunk, faket, we come to shul, and we come together for something for good things. So what does that make this takona? Does this make this takona a deiraisa, a drabonon? So most poskim can learn that even though Moshe Rabbeinu was misaking the takona of Kriyas HaTorah, nevertheless, it's not a din deiraisa that you have Kriyas HaTorah wrong. It's only a din drabonon. The rabbonon of misaking, it's Moshe Rabbeinu's takona. It's not deiraisa the takona. So we have a takona midrabonon. Now you need to lain on Shabbos, on Monday, and on Thursday, and then another takana from Ezra that you need to lain three people on Monday and Thursday and 10 psukim, as well as Shabbos afternoon, 10 psukim. Three people, 10 psukim. Now, what happens if you don't have a Sefer Torah? So we'll discuss that. What happens if you don't have a Sefer Torah before we discuss about moving a Sefer Torah? So that is a halacha that's brought over here in Shulchan Aruch in more than one place. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Mem Gimel says the following. There he's speaking about people that didn't have a full Sefer Torah. Let's say you had a Bereshis. And a Bereshis that was even on Atzichayim, but it doesn't have a Shmoyz, Meikra, or Midman Varm. Only a Bereshis. But you're lucky, it's Pashas Noach, and you want to lay out of that Pashas Bereshis, that Chumash Bereshis. Are you allowed to lay out of such a Chumash Bereshis, or are you not allowed to lay? So he brings in Simon Kufman Gimel Sif Beis 143:2. Im Kosvu Kol Chumash Levadai, if they wrote each Chumash separately, Afilu Biglila Kisefer Torah, even if you put it on a roll like a Sefer Torah, it mamish looks like a Sefer Torah, just as one Chumash, not all five. Ein Koyrin Boy, Achiyu Kol Chamisho Chumash and Tvorim Yachad. You cannot learn from it until you have all Chamisho Chumash Torah sewn together. And then they have to be ksum and miglil k'sefer Torah, adds the Ramo. They still need to be written on a scroll. But chumashim shalanu, our chumashim, which are printed, afilu kol chamisha svarim yachad. Yes, they say, okay, I have an oxkol chumash, I have an eshkol chumash. It's got all five together. It's a beautiful chumash, beautifully written, beautiful print. Can I learn from that? Ein lebarach aleim, you can't make a bracha on them. Uvemokoyim she'ein, uvemokoyim she'ein sefer Torah. Sorry if there's a sefer Torah. So then you tell them what to do. So Mishnah Berurah writes over here, Ein Levarach Aleim, Mishnah Berurah Siv Kotten Tes, Ubi Yishuv, if you live in a place, She'ein Lem Sefer Torah, let's say you live in a place that doesn't have a Sefer Torah. And again, sometimes that's because you live in Yena Etvelt. Sometimes it's because you've gone on holiday to some corner in Wales that has never seen a Sefer Torah before. And sometimes, even in Manchester, you can be in a situation where there are tons of Sefer Torah around, but in your minyan, where you are, there is no Sefer Torah. Not always is the lack of Sefer Torah due to geographical proximity. You could live next door to Shul and not have a Sefer Torah and still have a minyan. So let's say you don't have a Sefer Torah. Nochon likreis b'chumoshim b'lai bracha. It is correct to read out of a chumash without making any brachas, shaloi tishtagach teres kriya, that you shouldn't forget about kriya satora, because if you don't do it, people might forget about this halach of kriya satora. We don't want that to happen. V'lo yikra oyle m'shenk ma'aminik sefer Torah, and you don't call up anybody to aliyas like you do with sefer Torah, el ha-shlich tziva yikra koi v'koi rom lifneim, the shlich tziva should lay out loud in front of them. So, for example, in our garden minyan, there have been times where we've not had a Sefer Torah, and at the times we haven't had a Sefer Torah, so I'm a Balkare, so I leaned from the Sefer, from a Chumash, and everybody else listened in, and that's how we did things. So, Ad Kan, as far as that's concerned, that's the next halacha. So number one, we said there's a din d'rabbana that you need to lain on Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday. And number two, now the second halacha that we're mentioning is that you need to, that if you don't have a Sefer Torah, for whatever reason, the Shliach Tzibur should do the laning, and the minig is also to do the Haftarah. The Kavachayim says you should also say the Haftarah, and he will read it without any brachas, but at least this way, Shaloi Tishtak Haftarah's Kriya, you shouldn't forget about Kriya Satorah. Okay? That is the halacha over here. The interesting thing that we had last week, where we didn't have a Sefer Torah, was that we, by Shabbos, by Mincha, it became a little bit strange, because you say, if you don't have a Sefer Torah, you say, Ashrei Volatzion, and then you say, Chotzi Kaddish, and then after Chotzi Kaddish, really what should come is Kriya Satorah, another Chotzi Kaddish, and then Shmone Esrei. The problem is that we don't have a Sefer Torah. So we said, Ashrei Volatzion, then we said half Kaddish, and then if I was going to lane there, you couldn't say another Chatzi Kaddish after that. That doesn't work. So it would make it very strange. So in the end, what ended up happening was, is that we didn't lane by Shabbos, by Mincha. You could lane after Shmona Esrei. But I thought it was a hefsik between the Chatzi Kaddish after the Asher Valetzion and the Shmona Esrei. I felt laning there would be a hefsik that shouldn't be there, which is why you should lane afterwards. But halacha is, if you don't have a Sefer Torah, there's still a din to lain. It just works differently. Okay, so that's
I think you also say Vanis Filosi. I think you also say Vanis Filosi when you're davening on your own.
You do or you don't say Vanis Filosi?
You do.
You do say Vanis Filosi. Okay,
so you can say... According to Rabbi Sofer, anyway.
Right, they said, okay, so that works. So if you say Vanis Filosi, so what? So, but yeah, but then you didn't have Kaddish. Again, you didn't have Kaddish, so then you don't have the, you know, the Hefsik. But Anis Filosi between, there might be a Hefsik between the Kaddish and the, even though there's no dinner Hefsik, by the way, by Mincha. There's no halacha that by Mincha you cannot be Mafsik. That's why you can say Kishem. It's not like Shachris, where there's a din of Smicha Skula the Trilla. Okay. Now, that is, if you don't have a Sefer Torah, that's the halacha of what you do when you don't have a Sefer Torah. So now the question is, should I bring a Sefer Torah if, let's say, I have the opportunity to bring a Sefer Torah to my house? Should I be bringing a Sefer Torah to my house? And I'll make the first thing that I would say is, if you do decide to bring a Sefer Torah to your house, then you have to act with the utmost kedusha in the presence of the Sefer Torah. You cannot forget that you have a Sefer Torah at home and just behave any way you want to, walk around any way you want to. You might feel, well, it's my home, so you walk around in pajamas or whatever else it is, and I can understand that. But I don't know if it's the Kopenik, if you have an armed Kurdish around in your house to start running around that room in pajamas. She says, oh, my pajamas are snuh. Yeah, they are snuh. I'm not saying they're not. But in Kolzeh, you know, pajamas are from an armed Kurdish. It's a little bit, maybe not so the Kopenik. So you have to be careful b'chlal with the Kovat HaSefer Torah. If you are going to bring a Sefer Torah to the house, you need to be very careful that you do it in an oifen that's going to be extremely b'kovat. But now the question is as follows, and this is based on a Yerushalmi that's brought in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma says that what they did was, they after the Kohen brought most of the Kohen Gadol, most of the Korbanos, there was a Kriya Sater that was done. And they used to take it out, and the Chazan HaKnesses passed it on to the Rosh HaKohen, the Rosh HaKohen passed it to the Skaran Kohen, the Skaran Kohen to the Kohen Gadol. They were passing around the Sefer Torah. And the Gemara says that it's not considered very mekovedik to be passing around the Sefer Torah. You should be going to the Sefer Torah, not the Sefer Torah being schlepped around to be coming to you. That's what's brought in the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, and it's brought on the base. Yosef, b'chol asa'at om ha'alecha etzel Torah. Everywhere we say you should follow the Sefer Torah. And here, how could you be taking the Sefer Torah and bringing it to the people? Okay, so that was, and the Gemara says, because of the Bnei Torah, you don't live by Torah, so therefore you'd be allowed to. The Torah is raised up with the fact that you bring it to them. So that is this Gemara, that in the Yerushalmi. Now the question that came up, this is a question that's brought to the Motche in Perek Rosh Hashanah. You have people that have been imprisoned. Now in the time of the Motche himself, I think was imprisoned, Motche was also killed by Kiddush Hashem. So in the time of the Rishonim, it was quite normal for people to sit in prison for having done absolutely nothing. We're not talking about over here petty criminals or people that have been through tax fraud or voucher fraud or whatever else it might be. None of that. We're dealing here with honest, true B'nai Torah that have been caught for no reason other than that they're Jewish and have been stuck in prison. And now there's then the Shaila to the Mokcha. We have been given a place to put a Sefer Torah, or we've been given a chance to daven together with a minyan, and we'd love in our minyan to be able to have a Sefer Torah. Would you be able to send us a Sefer Torah? Please send us a Sefer Torah from the shul. That's the question that was asked. And the psak that was given, Bnei Adam, and this is how the Shulchan Aruch writes it, Bnei Adam hachavushim eveis rasurim, if you have people that are locked up in prison, ein meviim etzlam sefer Torah, you don't bring a sefer Torah for them, afila b'Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur, even for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you are not allowed to bring a sefer Torah to jail. Okay? That's the psak of Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Ramah is going to qualify that. That's not so posh that you cannot just stop, never bring a Sefer Torah anyway. Says the Ramah, let's say you had very good connections with the correctional justice system. So you know the people that are in charge of Strange Ways, and let's say Chas V'Shalom, there were 10 Yidin Shomer Torah Mitzvahs in Strange Ways prison, and you know they want to have a Sefer Torah, so you're going to take a Sefer Torah from MH every single week on Monday and Thursday. The time for the inmates' Kriya Satorah is 10 o'clock, so you get a Sefer Torah at 9:30, you make it to Strange Ways, you park up, you come, they check you, they check the Sefer Torah, you come inside, they do the laning, they go back home with the Sefer Torah at 10:15 or 10:30, back to MH. So says the Ramah, when the Shulchan Aruch says, Bnei Adam hachavushim eveis rasurim, people that are stuck in jail, you're not allowed to bring a Sefer Torah to them, even Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we are discussing a case like that. We're discussing a case where you have people that are sitting in jail, and you want to bring them the Sefer Torah, let them lane, and bring the Sefer Torah straight back. And there the question becomes, you think the Sefer Torah is just like the thing that you shuttle about, put it in the back of the car, strap it in, drive around, drive back, do whatever you want to with it. Sefer, you bring the people to the Sefer Torah, not the Sefer Torah to the people. That's what the Yerushalmi is saying. And therefore, that's Mikshas Kriya Levad. Let's say that the prisoners were able to have their own Rosh Hashanah minyan. So they have their chazan, the head prisoner is going to be the chazan for whatever reason, and he's going to daven for the omer, it's going to be all gishmak, it's going to be all very, very good, and they've been given a special room to daven together, and they've even been given a special Aron Kodesh. The correction officers have a little box that they've cleaned out, and that's where the Sefer Torah goes. Are you allowed to bring them a Sefer Torah to have for the entirety of Rosh Hashanah, to sit there in Strange Ways with your Strange Ways minion? The answer, says the Ramah, is yes. If that's based on an Arzaruah brought in Agos Hashri Per Gimel Aprovis, that if you have a place for it, and it's going to be in a Mokrin Kavua, Yom or Yomayim Kodem, a day or two before, then it's Mutter. And the Ramah finishes off, if it's an Adam Choshev, it'll be Mutter also, because that's what the Gemara said already, that for an Adam Choshev, bringing the Torah to an Adam Choshev is a Torah Nis'alava, and the Torah becomes raised up through bringing that Torah to an Adam Choshev. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says over here. So therefore, the general, we'll get to three times in a minute, but the general halacha, as it seems to come out from Shulchan Aruch or Ramah over here, is that if you have a place that's been set aside for the Sefer Torah, and you bring the Sefer Torah to your house, and that Sefer Torah sits in the Aron Kodesh in your house a day before, a day after, whatever it means, Yom Yomayim Kodem, you take out the Sefer Torah, Kriya Satorah, as soon as you finish the Sefer Torah, Kriya Satorah, you put it back in the Aron Kodesh, it sits in that Aron Kodesh and has a Mokon Kavua, then you would be allowed to bring a Sefer Torah. And therefore, if you want to borrow a Sefer Torah for a minyan in a back garden, it would very much depend on whether you have an Aron Kodesh for that Sefer Torah or not. If you have an Aron Kodesh for that Sefer Torah, like many shuls have a mini Aron Kodesh that they lend out together with the Sefer Torah that they lend out for Shiva houses and for Avelim, if you have such a setup, then the halacha will be as long as you bring the Sefer, let's say on Friday, and it sits there Friday and Shabbos, and then Motzei Shabbos, you bring it back to shul, or Sunday morning, you bring it back to shul, that will be permitted. That would be allowed according to the way the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, according to the way the Ramah is running the Shulchan Aruch, the Shem, the Azura. However, let's say you don't have an iron codex. So you say, oh, no big deal. I'll take a Sefer Torah. I'll wrap it up in a talis. I'll leave it on my dining room table, and that'll be its mokum. So that's not becoming. That's not becoming for a Sefer Torah. You cannot bring a Sefer Torah to a place that doesn't have a mokum for it. And that's not called a mokum for it, just leaving it on the table wrapped in a talis. So if you want to do it, now I remember speaking to someone about this. He said, yeah, okay. So if you don't have an Aron Kodesh, I'm happy to go to B&Q and buy a few bits of wood and I'll sort together an Aron Kodesh and I'll make an Aron Kodesh. I'd rather be able to lay with a Sefer Torah with an Aron Kodesh than say, well, I can only put a Sefer Torah inside a talis and therefore I'm not going to take it. So if the Aron Kodesh is the only thing that is missing, that's something that's easily rectified. Not only that, the Aron Kodesh does not need to be specifically an Aron Kodesh. Let's say you have a very nice break fund. You have a beautiful Svarim Shrank or whatever it is. Right? I'm looking at Anthony Harris. I'm looking at you. Let's say you decided you wanted to have the Sefer Torah in your dining room over there. So what you did was behind you, your Svarim Shrank, you took out three rows of Svarim, moved them somewhere else, took out two shelves, cleaned it very nicely, and the Sefer Torah will sit over there in that Svarim Shrank. Anybody who can see it, anybody who's on Zoom can see that Svarim Shrank. You want to put it over there? That's also mutter. It doesn't need to be an Aron Kodesh, but that will be considered a Mokum Kavua. It's a Bekomedik and Mokum Kavua where you put the Sefer Torah, you're allowed to put it there. But stam to lie it down on a table and cover it in a talis and make it, oh, that's fine, no problem.
But to make a DIY B&Q Aron Kodesh,
yes.
What would happen afterwards when you finish with the wood? Can you just throw it away, use it what you like? Does it have Kedusha?
I don't know because that's Halilah's Beis HaKnesses. I'd have to look it up. But my guess would be that it would be get a din of Kedusha. You were masmin it now for non Kurdish. You couldn't throw it away. You'd have to, I don't know what you'd have to, maybe you'd have to put the wood in Geniz or use it maybe for an oran for a mace or something. I don't know the answer to the question. I could come back to you, Anthony, with the answer, but I'm almost certain that you cannot just take the wood and then decide to use it as a spare wood for something else in your house. I would guess that would retain Kedusha. So that's the halach over there. So you'd be you'd have to find a mokum kavur for it. So say two more things, and when that will end, I think 10:25 it ends. Is that right, Shem? It's a 10:25. 10:15, sorry.
Officially, it's only... quarter past.
That's what I thought. 10:15. I meant 10:15, which is why I said two more quick things because I got 2 minutes left. Number one, what about three kriyas? People say that you need to lay three times with a sefer. So what's the halacha of laying three times with a sefer? So the Aruch HaShulchan brings this halacha of three times with the sefer, and some people try to be machmir on this three times with the sefer, but many people say that if the sefer Torah has a mokum kavua, like we said before with an Aron Kodesh, even if you don't lay three times out of the sefer, you're still allowed to bring it. Now, I'll mention one last halacha. This happened to us this Shavuos, and this is the, and I said no for one reason, and it turns out that in reality, there's no for two reasons. So we had a sefer Torah for Shavuos, and somebody came and knocked on my door. He says, we have a minyan down the road. Can we borrow your sefer Torah? I wasn't sure. I went inside to speak to my wife about it, and my wife said to me, what do you mean? It's not your Sefer Torah. Who says in Choshen Mishpat you have a right to lend that Sefer Torah to somebody else? The shul gave you permission to take it. Fine. You have permission to take it. But who says that the minion down the road has permission to take it? Just because you have it. And therefore I came back, I said, really sorry, but Dinei Choshen Mishpat, I don't think I'm allowed to give it to you. And they said, fine. But what comes out now from what we said is another halacha. And that's the following. Even if the shul had allowed me to do that, even the shul says if somebody knocks on your door, you're allowed to lend them the Sefer Torah, the halacha is, it is also for them to borrow the Sefer Torah for one kriya to bring it back. Because we just saw over here, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to just move a Sefer Torah for kriya Satorah to somewhere else and bring it back. Some people even say within a shtiblach, if you have a shtiblach, and you have one big shul that has a Sefer Torah, and you want to take out the Sefer Torah from that shul and bring it to the side room and then bring it back, who says you're allowed to do that? So some say, if the main shul is the only place with a safe, secure Aron Kodesh, then you'd be allowed to do that. But you can't just stop moving around Sefer Torah in a basement just because you feel like it. Oh, I'll bring it here today, I'll bring it there tomorrow. So they knock on the door, they want to have a Sefer Torah, the answer is no. Midin kovet a Sefer Torah, it is also for you to take the Sefer Torah from my house, go to your house with it, lay from it, and come back with it. Mechatesa, you move around the Sefer Torah like it's a piece of kugel. It's awesome. So therefore, pardon?
Isn't there a halacha that by Tashmishei Kedusha you're allowed to borrow without permission, like a sefer or something like that?
Yeah, but a sefer, that's true. But a sefer Torah, which is something that's very expensive, where we know that they will be makbid, and they would for sure not want you to just pass around a sefer Torah willy-nilly, there the halacha will be not. So if you find a Gemara on the table, so yeah, and chances are nowadays, Gemaras are very, very shriach, that most people are not makbid if you use the Gemara for half an hour, as long as you're careful with it. But a sefer Torah, which is extremely expensive, or tefillin nowadays, you cannot buy tefillin without permission. You have to ask permission. Sefer Torah, certainly. Sefer Torah is a very, very expensive thing. You can't assume that your shul bedafka will give you permission to move it, and therefore be also to take a sefer Torah without permission. But now, even if you did have permission from the shul, it comes out that it's also to move that sefer Torah, because the... So then they ask me, well, can we come to your house, and then we'll come at 7 o'clock and we'll lay at your house? The answer to that is no, because that goes against the guidelines. You're not allowed to bring people into your house, a minion of other people into your house, and to lay it over there. They say, we don't have Kriyas HaTorah. So then we go back to the halacha before. You're not Kriyas HaTorah. You lay out a chumash. But you're not allowed to go against the guidelines, against what is legally permitted, and do it anyway, because you want to lay from a sefer Torah, and I have a sefer Torah in my house. So if they were to split up, and this is before today, so there wasn't legal to have six and six. It was only one and one in each garden. They wouldn't be able to. Nowadays, if you were able to split up and we all went inside and they put six people in one garden, six people in the other garden, maybe after you could say they could be allowed to do such a thing and they'd be allowed to lay into my house if I'm comfortable with it and they're comfortable with it. But when they asked me on Shabbos, it was definitely against the law. If it was against the law, then I wasn't going to break the law for them to be able to have a sefer Torah and to be able to do laying with the sefer Torah. Ad kan the halachas for today, Mirtz Hashem, as I said, we're going to come to part two. If you do have a sefer Torah in your minyan, how do you go about calling up people? Can you call up more than one person? Can people get multiple aliyahs, etc., etc.? It's been a pleasure spending the time together with you. Wish you all a very good day, and Mirtz Hashem, look forward to part two together. Yes.